would like to talk to you about building Zoodio, which is another startup thing, but slightly different this time, because Zoodio is an Azure-focused toolkit, which I am bootstrapping currently, because no one will give me any money. So yes, stuff down the side here, zud.io, if you want to try it out, funky little domain name thing. So, the idea behind Zoodio, I've been working with Azure since early 2009, when it was in very early beta. And I don't know if anyone remembers, when Microsoft launched Azure, it didn't have a SQL database. It had blob storage and table storage and queue storage, and they put a link provider over table storage to try and make it seem a bit more entity frameworky. And because I was using it then, I learned all about how to use this storage stuff, and I thought it was great. And so now, I mean, when they launched the SQL databases, yes, there are things that that's better for, but I've carried on using the built-in sort of table storage and the scalable cloudy stuff. So a couple of years ago, I was out and I was on a customer site and I wasn't allowed to attach my laptop to their network, and I didn't have a 4G phone or anything like that. And I needed to access some Azure storage to find out why the Met Office's weather crunching application that we'd written for them had stopped crunching weather. And I didn't have anything that I could use, and I thought I should write, I had a 3G iPad on me, and I thought I should write an iPad application for working with Azure storage. And then I thought, that sounds like a terrible idea because I'd have to use Objective-C. So then I thought, I'll write a web application. It makes perfect sense to write a web application. So I did. And that became Zoodio, which Richard showed you earlier on. But I'm going to demonstrate it anyway, just very quickly, so you can see what it looks like. So this is Zoodio, and it works with blobs and queues and tables at the moment. And I'm working on file support and working on all sorts of things. And you can upload blobs and download blobs and see my Dropbox down at the bottom there, telling you about files that are being changed by other people. No, don't do that. Oh, we'll just leave that down there, just ignore it. Yes, and you can work with queues. So I've got a queue there with some messages on it that have never been dequeued because I put them on for this demonstration. And I can work with tables, and that's my Windows Azure event logs table coming from my Windows Azure Diagnostics on the only web role that I'm running in cloud services. So that's Zoodio, and I've been building this for a couple of years, including spending 9 months on it and then throwing it all away and starting again, which was fun. You have to do that. Actually, I think everyone should build that time into every project plan, is build about a third of it and then throw it all away and take the lessons you've learned and start again with an empty CS file. So having kind of made this thing and got it to the point where I thought, I could sell this, I could put it up there and let other people pay me to use it, which was unusual for me. My wife despairs because I tend to open source a lot of stuff. And she looked at this and went, that's actually quite good. If you open source that, I'll kill you. So I need hosting. I need to put it up into Azure and everything. But right from the start, right from the point of not having any customers at all, I needed it to be global. I needed it to be running on lots of servers in lots of data centers. Why? Well, that's an interesting attempt at that slide. There's a world map underneath that, which you can't see. You can just about see the dot. You see the dots? Look, the little dots. Anyway, imagine the world map underneath it. Those are the Azure data centers that are currently running. So, and I'm going to remember these without reference to the actual map. So you've got North Central US over to the side here, South Central US, West US, East US, Brazil South, which is currently very busy streaming silly people chasing balls. And we've got, that's West Europe, that's North Europe, yep. Cloud services, massively distributed systems, yes, geography, not so much. That's Japan, West and Japan East, that's Asia, and that's Southeast Asia. And there's more coming on all the time. And people that I want to sell to anybody using any of those data centers. I don't want to go, oh, well, it'll work best if you're in North Europe. So I wanted to be running my services in all of those different data centers so I could be quick and not sort of incur lots of data transfer charges and all this sort of thing. So users tend to keep their data in the nearest data center. If you do a query from inside a data center to the storage in that data center, then you're running across this amazing network fabric with like gigabits per second and everything. Whereas as soon as you go outside that data center and start accessing that storage over there, it slows down to internet speeds. So I get better performance from my customers, and also because the things I'm doing on my servers don't take as long, then I get better scalability as well. This is how Zoodio uses Azure. It's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I've got websites, I've got lots of different storage accounts, I've got service bus, and I've got some cloud services and all sorts of things going on there. And I've got Traffic Manager handling all the traffic routing. And this would be extremely expensive as a startup if I had to pay for all of this stuff. So I managed to get myself onto BizSpark Plus. So I was on BizSpark, and BizSpark is great. You get 150 hours of Azure, a single core per month, which is enough to run like three extra small instances, I think. And then I got myself onto BizSpark Plus, which basically says, just try and use up the credit we're going to give you every month. Lots and lots of Azure credit. I have used it up once by accident, which was interesting. And they give you that for 1 year. And the great thing about that is that you can say, all right, I'm going to build a really kind of blunt instrument of a system in terms of how it actually operates at the back end and how much resource it uses and so forth. And then you can kind of optimize it and work out how you can collapse things down so that by the time you get to the end of your BizSpark Plus period, you've got the whole thing running on one Raspberry Pi somewhere in Canada, where it's really cheap to host Raspberry Pis. That's going to go out there on the internet now, and people are going to go, oh, Canada for Raspberry Pi hosting. Yay. So yes, so BizSpark Plus has been incredibly helpful. And I get all this stuff and lots of websites and things going on, and it's all kind of paid for until December this year. And then I have to start paying for it. So I'm optimizing like mad. So, all the servers, all the application servers and everything else are hosted on Azure websites. And when I first started deploying this stuff, Azure websites was still in preview. It still had the little green preview tag on it in the portal. But they went, oh no, come and put it on here. I actually had to run cloud services in front of the Azure websites just to do SSL, because I figured people probably didn't want to give me their shared keys to their storage over an unencrypted connection. But now they've got SSL, they've got all the things that you could do with cloud services you can now do with Azure websites. But there are lots of advantages that websites have over the cloud services. In particular, very rapid deployment. You hear a lot about DevOps and so forth, and so I've got quite a simple script for doing a release of a new version of Zoodio. Yeah. That's it. That basically does it. And if I do git push origin master, it's actually even better, because what it does then is it pushes it up to a test site and then runs a whole load of automated tests using WebDriver against an instance that's actually running in a proper cloud data center. So that's my release. But it's got very quick scaling. And the advantage of websites over cloud services is cloud services you can scale by going add more instances, remove some instances, and so forth. But changing the instance size requires redeploying the entire site. Whereas with websites, you can just say, oh, I think I need large instances. Switch those to large instances, switch them back to medium instances. And they've got automatic scaling as well, so you can set a minimum. So I have a minimum of two servers running in every data center, but that can scale up to 10 in the event of enormous quantities of people all using the service at the same time. Please. So yes, and when you've got cloud services, It's essentially, you've got one application per cloud service, certainly in the real platform as a service sense. Whereas with Azure websites, you pay for some instances and you can run like 500 different websites all on that same pair of instances because it's just a big IIS cluster and so forth. And I've even got, some of my stuff is .NET, I've got a few bits in Node.js and they're all running on the same servers. So I'm not incurring extra costs just to use different platforms. So that multiple site support, Mick was talking about refactoring his application into service-oriented architecture and building lots of smaller services and smaller applications that come together to form one big application. And that's something that I've been working on with Azure and with Zoodio. So I have my upload application. Most of the stuff in Zoodio, I can upload a new version and switch you over to it and you won't notice that it's happened. But people upload 127 gigabyte VHD files using Zoodio. I know because I track it and I and if someone's uploading 127 gigabytes and then at the 126 gigabyte point, I go, actually, let's switch to a new version of that. And because I've added functionality to the queues tab, then the person who was doing that is probably going to be miffed. So I put all the upload functionality onto separate servers and those just sit there and run. And they run constantly and they're separate. And I'm breaking more stuff out. And as I add new functionality, I tend to do it as a new application and just bring it in as a back-end service. And I've also got northeu.zoodio and westeu.zoodio. There are subdomains for all the different server instances so that regardless of where you're working, you could be like an American person, but you're in Europe on business, but you're working with your American data center. And so I want to serve the application files come from the nearest data center. But when you talk to your storage, I route the calls to that data center using cores, which is why I don't support any version of IE less than 10. Ha. It's lovely being able, because when you're working for other people, they go, oh, I need to support IE8. And you're going, really? Whereas when you're working for yourself and you're working, particularly because most of my customers are web developers and kind of people who are using Firefox and Chrome and things like that, and I can just go, yeah, you're using IE9. Here's a humorous picture telling you your browser's out of date. Brilliant. So yes, and moving more towards microservices, which is what we have to call service-oriented architecture now. Because new. I've been writing code since like 1989 professionally on Unix systems, and basically what you had on Unix systems was lots of microservices. Yeah, it's not new. So there are some things though that you can't do in the space of a web request. I mean, you can if you do what a lot of the people, I do consulting and I go up to different places and they say, why isn't this working? And I look at it and I go, I'm not sure why it is working at all. That bit there definitely shouldn't work. But no, they have long running tasks. And so they go into their web.config and set the HTTP request timeout to 3 hours. This is not the way to run long-running tasks. So I've got various things. You can like copy an entire table from one data center to another and all this sort of thing. And so I was using worker roles for doing that. And obviously that's quite expensive because I've got all my websites running and all those are costing me money. And then I've got worker roles running as well. And all those are costing me money for doing all this stuff. So then recently they launched web jobs. And web jobs is brilliant because I can literally just include a couple of console applications in my main application, and then they upload and they just run and they get driven by queues. It's kind of like mini Orleans. I used to do stand-up, and if people's phones rang, it did not go well. But I'm not doing that anymore. So yes, like I say, I am a fan of the whole Azure storage stack. I don't just give you access to it, I do use it for pretty much everything internally. So I use table storage for all my authentication data and my user data and all this sort of stuff. All the background processing is driven by Azure storage queues, and We use blobs for temporary file storage and CDN, although we are going to switch some of that over to Azure Files now that that's slowly creeping out. So we make a lot of use of Azure storage. The great thing is that that means I have to dog food Zoodio, because all my data is in Azure storage, and so if I want to access it, then I have to use Zoodio to do it, because I can't use the competition's stuff. That would be weird and wrong. The nice thing about Windows Azure storage, there's a Windows Azure.storage NuGet, which has just hit version 4 recently, and it's completely open source. I'm not sure if it's open source to the point where they take pull requests, but it is open source to the point where when they released a version that seriously broke something, I was able to fork it and do my own build and fix the one line of code that had somehow made it in there that crashed an entire section of Zoodio. So that was cool. That's open source. I do use Azure SQL Database for a few things. I use it for my business partner insists that she needs figures and numbers and things, and she needs it in a kind of reasonable format that she can understand and not just a grid. So we copy some data into there, and she uses that for reporting. And also, we're just translating the actual landing pages and all that sort of stuff into brand new WordPress, which is quite a new thing. It's a fork of WordPress that is specifically optimized to run on Azure using Azure SQL Database. It's very, very good. If you want to run a WordPress site in Azure, then I recommend checking that out. Also, use Service Bus. So I said most of the background tasks and so forth are driven by queues, which they are. And it's one of those things where queues is the simplest version, and then Service Bus does more complicated things, but you use the simplest thing that works. So I use storage queues for most things, but I have a messaging hub that, as background tasks are running, it pumps information to the browser saying, oh, it's going really well, it's going really well, it's crashed. No, it never says that, obviously. But the messaging hub is done in Node.js and Socket.io because I had a big fight with SignalR for about 24 hours, and then I went, right, sod it, I'm using Socket.io. Bleep that. With Node.js, if you're running Node.js on a medium instance, which has got two cores, then it's actually running two instances of Node.js, one on each core, because it's single-threaded. Which means even if you're just running a single server, unless it's a small instance, in which case it's not going to do very much, you've got multiple instances of Node. And so you need some way of making sure that regardless of which particular instance a user is connected to, they're going to get the message that you're trying to send to them. And someone made a Node package that makes Socket.io use Service Bus as a backend to share the messages across all the instances of Node that are running. The code for that was insanely complicated. That's it. That's the whole code to use Service Bus to make sure that your Socket.io application is working properly. That was just ridiculously easy. It just works. Lovely. I had to color all that in. I couldn't actually get it to do the copy and paste and keep the colors from Sublime Text. So I was sat there on the train on the way up this morning coloring the words in vaguely related colors. Yes. Yes, I do have no life. Good question. Well done.
I'm curious to hear your issues that you had with
SignalR. The issues that I had with SignalR is that because I'm very hacky and open source and everything, most of Zoodio is written on my own web framework, Simple Web, which started because I was writing it on Web API, and then Web API went in a different direction and I didn't go with it. So I wrote my own almost like Web API traditional clone, and that runs on top of OWIN, which is the Open Web Interfaces for .NET. And that's, I've got my own version implementation of that rather than using Katana. And SignalR really, really, really only runs on Katana. It doesn't run on my thing. This is being resolved in ASP.NET vNext, which is the best thing ever, and means I don't have to do Simple Web anymore. And I will be migrating over to it as soon as it's slightly less alpha. But it's great. I love the vNext stuff that they're doing. But yes, That was basically the problem. And then it was either write a Katana-based application or just spin up some Node. And so I span up some Node. So yes, Traffic Manager. Not everyone knows what Traffic Manager is. Not everyone knows that the Traffic Manager is there. But Traffic Manager is a fantastic thing that is built into Azure, where you can set up different kinds of routing. And you set up a Traffic Manager endpoint, and then you use CNAMEs to point your DNS to the Traffic Manager thing. And then it automatically directs the traffic to either the nearest data center or to a particular data center. But if that's not there for some reason, then it fails over to another data center. So I use the performance routing for ZUD.io. And because that's a naked domain, you can't use a CNAME, because the DNS standard says you can't use CNAMEs with the naked domain. And quite a few domain name service providers have said, that's stupid though. So they've invented their own unofficial ones. I use DNSimple, and they have an alias record, which is a CNAME just for the naked domain. So I use performance routing. When you go to Zoodio, it automatically routes you to the nearest data center. But for each of the subdomains, it's got failover routing. So northeu.zoodio points to that, but if it goes offline for some reason, then westeu.zoodio takes over, and vice versa. And I had, just after I'd put this live, I was up at one of the user group meetings, and Andy said, I had a weird thing today. I was in the portal, and it wouldn't show me my blob storage in the WestEU data center, because the WestEU data center had been having a couple of problems that day. But Zoodio showed it to him perfectly happily, because there was nothing wrong with the storage. It was compute that was having a brief issue in there. And so I had northeu.zoodio was filling in for westeu.zoodio while they were having problems. So I actually have 25 Traffic Manager instances. I've got 11. I've got one for Zoodio. I've got 11 for all 11 data centers doing the failover routing for the main site, and another 11 doing failover routing for the upload stuff, and then three handling hubs and various other infrastructure things. Now, when you've got 11 websites that are all technically the same website, working with them is still quite difficult. In particular, when I deploy my websites using my Git push origin release, they go into a staging slot. And the point of the staging slot is that if something goes wrong with Git or NuGet or any of the myriad things that are involved in this process, it doesn't crash that server. It just sits in the staging slot going, no, that didn't work. But once you've got them all deployed and they're all working properly, there's a swap button that you have to use. And the first time, I think I did it with when it was 9 data centers, and they just launched staging slots. And the first time I had to open up 9 tabs and then go, right, are they ready? 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 Okay, go back to this one. Swap, click, swap, click, swap, click, swap, click, swap, click. So I decided I would learn the management API. Azure has a fantastic management API. Almost everything you can do through the portal, you can do using code. And so I wrote Igor. And Igor waits till things are alive and tells you how alive they are and so forth. And so you can see here, all the ones in green are the live sites, and all the ones in yellow are the staging sites. And I can force a sync. So if any of them haven't picked up the GitHub hook for some reason, I can say, oi, go and get your latest version of the code. And then once they're all saying, I'm ready, I can click swap all, and it just swaps all of them over at the same time. And then there's some other bits and pieces in there. But this is all based on the web API, and that's open source. You can get that from github.com/Igor. Download that, play with it, use it. I have, so far, managed to avoid putting my own management certificate into GitHub source control, which, as anyone who's used GitHub for anything serious will tell you, is an achievement. And I'm very proud of it. I need to delete a commit because it had keys in it. No, Git doesn't work like that. Damn. So this is what I'm working on at the moment. We've got analytics coming, so you can see pretty graphs and things, which makes for some great screenshots and may be useful. We've got some new licensing models coming along. We've got enterprise licensing with permissions and all this sort of stuff. We're starting to support relational database systems and so forth, and all this stuff we can build out bit by bit and just add analytics in, and it's a new app and it just hooks in and so forth, and all deployed on this amazing infrastructure without me having to worry about, well, analytics, how many servers am I going to have to order for that and whatever else. So I can just keep throwing ideas around in a very agile, iterative sort of way. So that's got to be good. So yes, thanks for listening to me. I hope you had a good day, and enjoy the rest of it.